Whether you are new to the living healthy lifestyle or a healthy living veteran, this is the place for the honest answers to your questions. Naturally Savvy with registered holistic nutritionist Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis on RadioMD.com.
Always look forward to Healthy Steps with Dr. Ginger. Today, Dr. Ginger is going to talk about hybrid GMO and heirloom seeds, help us sort out the confusion and what all these seeds mean, what they do, and which ones you should be eating and should not. Hello there, Dr. Ginger.
Hello, glad to be here today. And yes, the topic is a confusing one for many because of the advertising that's done on a lot of the foods. And so I think a lot of people are confused about the difference really between hybrids and GMOs.
Yeah, I'm definitely confused. Andrea, how about you?
Well, I'd like to hear what Dr. Ginger has to say. I think it's great, and having that definition is amazing. So yeah, please tell us what the difference is.
Okay, well, we have in nature natural hybridization, meaning the cross-pollination of two different kinds of plants and kind of its survival of the fittest as to whether that actually thrives. Over generation and generation. So we have the natural hybridization. And then, of course, man comes along, and man decides they're going to make a better orange or a better piece of food. And so they take naturally compatible varieties within the same species, and they cross-pollinate them to produce just a more vigorous fruit or vegetable. And that's been going on for a long, long time. And so that's modern, cultivated hybridization. And then we have the Frankenfoods, which we're all hearing about, the GMOs, where you're taking genes from two different living organisms. It could be a plant, animal, and or a microorganism that are not related in any way, shape, or form, and their DNA is combined through some technology of gene cloning or protein engineering or something of the sort, and producing an organism that would never be found in nature. And so that's the GMOs is really the scary part of all of this. The hybrids we've been eating for a long time, but there are some issues with that as well.
So, Dr. Ginger, give us an example for those who are listening or maybe not that familiar with GMOs or genetically engineered ingredients, what an example of a Frankenfood would be.
Well, goodness, there are so many. But let's take, for example, they are combining a fish and a tomato to create a tomato that has skin that's better than the original tomato. And that's kind of weird because those two things would never combine in nature. They are producing, we're all pretty familiar with Monsanto's Roundup Ready soybean, which is teamed up with, the soybean gene is teamed up with the pesticide to produce a soybean that will resist all weeds growing around it. The problem is it's also causing problems with our wildlife. Then there's the BT pesticide corn. So there's a pesticide that's being combined with the corn and either being fed to us or our livestock, but anything that takes a bite of that corn, it kills them. Any small organisms that try to get in there, and it's basically a registered pesticide is what it is. BT pesticide corn is a registered pesticide. So these are things that are not found in nature, and those are kind of the scary sounding ones. But then we also have just the biotech food that's out there, all the corn, soy, alfalfa, cotton, squash, papaya, most of that is genetically modified in one way, shape, or form, but a lot of it's not labeled.
Now, are they genetically modifying? Are they genetically modifying it so with the, for example, the squash or the zucchini, are they genetically modifying it with these pesticides so that it's resistant to the pests?
Well, some are weed resistant. The problem is, and then we create super weeds. A lot of this is they want, and this also happens with hybrids, though, they want to own the seeds. So they've patented these crosses so that only they have the right to reproduce them and use them. And then again, this happens with hybrids. A lot of the hybrid seeds are patented as well. But one of the biggest issues is the safety. And I know there are a lot of doctors out there telling parents, especially in pregnant women, do not feed genetically modified soy to your baby. There's studies that show when they're fed to rats that most of their babies die within 3 weeks. So we just don't know what this food is doing. We don't want to manipulate. When man starts manipulating, usually it's for money and not for our health concerns.
Well, I think a very scary thing, we have a partner at Naturally Savvy whose daughter is allergic to peanuts and she's allergic to fish and to eggs. So when you mention, you know, crossing a tomato with a fish DNA,
yeah.
I mean, these kids are eating, you know, she goes and she eats this tomato. I mean, she can have an anaphylactic reaction and there's no way for her to know whether or not that tomato contained that fish DNA because there's no labeling required. So it's very frustrating for parents to, you know, what do we feed our kids? So I guess what it comes down to, and I'm guessing you would agree, Dr. Ginger, is go organic or as much as possible.
You know, that I and I know people are, you know, like to complain that, that it costs more, but, you know, you need to take that step for the safety of your family because the government and the industries certainly aren't looking out for us. If you go on my Facebook page, Facebook.com/TheDrGinger, the last post I just posted was a chart that I got from the greenpolkadotbox.com, but it has a chart that has a lot of the common, and they're processed foods, but peanut butters and breads and cookies and fruit roll-ups and things like that, that contain GMOs, and then there's another option on the other side that do not contain GMOs. So it's just, you know, printing out a chart like that and having that, that's one way of educating, because there's so many ingredients in some of these foods, you'll never be able to pick it all apart. So you have to become an educated consumer, unfortunately, in today's world.
Dr. Ginger, talk to us about heirloom seeds.
Well, heirloom seeds they're non-hybrid. They're hard to find. It's called open pollinated. So it's when it kind of happens naturally through cross-pollinization. These seeds, and gardeners collect seeds from the plants for future croppings, for future plantings, and those seeds, those plants will be just like the ones before. Now, when we start doing the hybrids, there's what's called an F1 hybrid, which is the first-generation hybrid. And you can't reuse these seeds because they won't produce a uniform offspring. You have to buy new seeds each year. And that's kind of how some of the companies, they own it, because they know even if you save the seeds from that first generation, you're not going to get the same crop, so you just need to come back and buy the F1 seeds from them again. Because the F2 seeds don't reproduce true in this second generation. They don't have the same vigor, the same uniformity, the same qualities that they were trying to get in the F1. That's just sort of how it works. So heirloom seeds are the way to go. And a lot of these large corporations are buying up the mom-and-pop heirloom seed companies and taking those seeds kind of out of circulation. So it's definitely becoming a harder nut to crack to grow your own food and grow it right. But at this point, you know, with what we have, some of our options out there, you either really have to know your farmer and ask questions, grow your own with heirloom seeds, or just really choose non-GMO foods. And there is a label that is used on a lot of products and a lot of produce that says non-GMO verified. You've probably seen that before. But there's no uniform rule or law saying that things have to be labeled non-GMO, which I know a lot of places, a lot of states are working on. I think Oregon, at least some counties in Oregon, just passed one that said that it had to be labeled. But there's a lot that are not passing.
Yeah, and not enough, unfortunately. And you're right. And the non-GMO project verified label is definitely a great way to go. And just, I want to put out there, you know, don't be fooled, you know, for those of you listening, don't be fooled by some of the misleading marketing terms that companies are using, like putting on the front of a package non-GMO grains or non-GMO corn, and then, you know, turning around and using ingredients like canola oil or maltodextrin that we know are genetically engineered. So this is important. So definitely organic, definitely the non-GMO project verified label logo, look for that on the package. And, you know, right off the bat, you're in a better position in terms of what you're deciding what to eat.
Absolutely. You have to learn how to read labels, and you just have to read up and listen to shows like this and learn, because this is where you're going to hear it.
That's right. Thank you, Dr. Ginger. Well, thank you for being on our show again today, and we look forward to having you on again next week.
Look forward to being back. I actually have a lot more to say about this, so maybe we could do another topic on it sometime in the near future.
I love it, and we love talking about GMOs at NaturallySavvy.com, so we're in. Until next time, stay connected at Radio MD and NaturallySavvy.com, where we keep you informed and up to date on all things natural and organic. Stay well.